Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and tonight we're going to be speaking with two marketing specialists about how to market with honesty and building customer relationships. Our guests tonight are Deborah Chaddick-Brown and Cherie DeMayo, and I will tell you a bit more about them and why you should be listening to their advice in just a moment. First, I want to invite our listening audience to call into the show at 646-200-4071 with any questions or just to chat with us tonight. And we'll also have our live chat session going for those of you who don't want to call in but don't mind posting. That's already up and going, and I'll check that intermittently for any questions. When the show is over, the podcast will be available for download or embedding probably about an hour after the broadcast. And then we're going to follow up on the show's website at readersentertainment.tv/radio. And we'll make sure that we put some links in there and any additional information so that you can go there and you can comment and leave questions. And we'll make sure it gets to these ladies if you leave any questions on the blog. So let me start by welcoming both of you. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. It's our pleasure.
Now, Cherie, I want to start with you, but let me give my listeners a little bit of background on you. Now, Cherie is founder and chief marketeer of SLD Unlimited Marketing PR, Inc., a full-service marketing consulting and strategy firm she established in 1984. So you've been around a long time.
Yes, we have.
Cherie helps owners of startup and small to medium-sized companies become more savvy managers and marketers by providing innovative operational and marketing guidance solutions and services. So, Cherie, right out of the gate, I'm gonna throw this at you. Why is it important to be honest with all you do in marketing?
Because that is how you get loyalty. Part of effective marketing is building a confidence in those you serve. And I'm not just talking about the customers. I'm talking about the suppliers and everybody that helps you do business better. And if you operate with a level of honesty, if it's just a part of who you are and how you are, it comes back to you tenfold in your suppliers going that extra mile for you to serve your customers, in your customers knowing that when you say something's going to get done or when you say there's a problem and you're fixing it or whatever it is, that you've got their back and that you truly are looking out for their best interests.
Love it. So pretty much you're saying honesty helps build trust and it helps build loyalty. It kind of becomes a circle that feeds itself.
Oh, it certainly does, because then, you know, it feeds so many aspects of the integrity factor. And I'm going to tell you something that happened after 9/11. It seems like we got more selective in how we lived and even in the people we did business with. The whole aspect of values and how a business operates and how a business treats its customers and respects its customers, and you feel like you're being treated in a straight and fair way, you know, we really started to care about the relationships we had, even in the businesses that we did businesses with. So it's become even more profound as a result of everyone taking a step back and saying, you know what, I care about the relationships I have, and I only want to have relationships with people and businesses with integrity.
You know, I was very impressed with your website, and especially
Thank
that you.
You
have this, a values page. You actually have
mm-hmm.
a values page. And for our listeners who'd like to go check the site out, while we're talking about it, it's at www.sldunlimited.com. For those looking for marketing help, could you give us a synopsis of what you offer?
Yes. First, we start out the gate with what I like to call dissecting the business, getting the business out of a business owner's head and putting it back together in a way that they can embrace and truly put to market in the right way. So what we do is that strategic part of helping a business know how to position itself properly and build a strong strategy in order to differentiate itself. Then the next thing that we do is then put together an action plan and determine what makes us very unique is that, you know, most marketing firms will say, how much money do you have to spend? Well, that's the last question we ask, because we believe there are four different resources a business should be using, one being time, one being people, one being technology, and then the other being money. And what we have found is most businesses don't use those other three real effectively, and that's why money goes flying out the door.
Right.
So we actually look at those aspects of their business to figure out, okay, what people in your company and outside of your company are going to be helping with this marketing? How are you using your time? How is everybody using their time? How is technology going to save you time? How is technology going to facilitate marketing? And what we basically do is create an operational marketing plan so that it can be done, because we believe that marketing should be a daily operational function, just like building your products or producing your services are. So by looking at it from that standpoint, you get everybody involved in marketing, which is very exciting, because then everyone has a stake in the success of the company.
Now, one more question before we move over to Deborah. What would you say is the most important goal to have when creating a marketing campaign?
Well, there's probably two things that a company needs to look at very, very distinctively. The one goal is they need to understand, okay, what is our ultimate purpose and what we're trying to do in the marketplace that distinguishes us from anybody else. So their goal should be that they are doing something distinctive and different than anybody else, and they've got to figure out what that is. Then the next step in that is they have to have a goal of who can we serve better than anybody else through this distinctive factor. And so then they have to not only get at the demographic and the geographics of who their market is, but what I really hone in on is the psychographics, get into the mind of that customer or get into the mind and the culture of the companies they're trying to serve, if they're business to business. If they can understand those two important goals and nail them, they are going to explode no matter what the economy of their marketplace is.
Very good. Now, Sheree, don't go too far, because I'm going to come back to you in just a minute. Right now I want to introduce everyone to Deborah Chaddick-Brown, who is an amazing speaker. I met Deborah during a PodCamp event where I have to say I was totally captivated and engaged with her session. There were a lot of things that were like having an epiphany listening to Deborah, and she's also very engaging and has a wonderful sense of humor. Welcome, Deborah.
Well, it's great to be here, but I'm feeling pressure.
Are you feeling the pressure after that introduction? Well, I'm not done.
I am. I'll send you a check in the mail later.
All right. Yeah. Now, let me tell everyone a little bit more about you, and then we're going to put you on the hot seat. So prior to opening All Right Inc., Deborah was the director of communications for Cole National, a billion-dollar national optical retailer. As the head of communications, her responsibilities included ensuring corporate initiatives, products, and values were communicated to executives, field management, store associates, and franchise owners in a method that was clear, concise, and understood. Overall, Deborah's 25-plus years of experience in sales, multi-unit management, training, and communication fields benefit her clients, as she has the ability to look at communication needs from both the end user and the company perspectives. And I got that from the website, and I actually that really just puts off bells and whistles to me as somebody who's an entrepreneur myself. Like, I love the idea of somebody who has this well-rounded perspective. So, Deborah, why is it important to have that well-rounded perspective? What's the benefit to that?
Well, I think as business professionals, entrepreneurs, owners, managers, we know what our goal is. We have a particular goal in mind, whether it's to drive traffic or have more sales or have more profits go to the bottom line. We understand what our goal is. But the important thing to be effective within business is to truly understand our customers and our customers' perspectives and where they're coming from. And Sheree mentioned this just a moment ago, and I thought, oh, yeah, I mean, we're two people of the same mind. We really have to put ourselves in the shoes of whoever we're communicating to, that whether that's our vendors, our employees, or most importantly, our customers, to find out, what's going on in their life. What expectations do they have? What is their perspective? What kind of past experiences have they had with our business that may have colored what they're expecting to hear from us? And how can we communicate it in a way that's effective, that's not talking all about us and the fact that we've been in business forever and we offer quality products and services? That's the price of admittance. The old billboard on the highway that offers good food at the diner at the next exit, as opposed to what? The customer is expecting that we're going to be providing good service and quality and products, but they want to know that we care about them, that we're going to listen to them, that we value them, we respect them, and the best way to do that is to be putting ourselves in their shoes and understanding what their perspective is when we're marketing to them or just having a conversation. So I would say that would be what would be important.
Now, you are multitasking and have a lot of valuable enterprises going on yourself. Tell me about those, the different websites, different things that you're offering, and give us the website addresses too, if you will.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to plug myself a little bit. I am kind of two-faced. I have two sides to my business. I'm a freelance writer and a speaker. In freelance writing, I specialize in the internet, so writing that copy that is very reader-focused for the website, we only have 3 to 5 seconds to grab their attention, and if we're talking about us, we're going to lose them. But if we have content on our websites that really engages the reader, that strikes a chord with them, then we have the opportunity to hopefully keep them long enough so that they pick up the phone and want to have a conversation with us. So I specialize in helping businesses connect with their customers through social media and websites in a variety of ways. And then as a speaker, my passion is customer relationships. And so whether that's in person or through your website or over the phone, I have keynote or workshops that I offer where we do talk, and we do bring a lot of fun into it, and I'm glad you had a good time at PodCamp, because it should be a lot of fun. It shouldn't be painful to do business with us. And so in terms of websites, my primary company website is All Right Inc. That's allwriteink.com, Inc. for the writer, or you can go to deborahchaddockbrown.com, and that is a landing page for all of the different websites and blogs that I participate in. I have one just for customer relationships, as well as one for tips on writing, and a variety of different websites that I share tips and advice and stories on. So there you go.
All right. Now, Deborah, in your opinion, What do consumers want in relation to relationships? So what I mean is, what are consumers looking for in relationships with us?
Well, I think you started it off with the first question with Cherie, and that was about honesty. I think they expect to be treated like any other relationship we have, rather than a line on our P&L or the ringing of our cash register. They want to feel valued. They want to feel like they're being listened to, that they're being respected. And we can mess up, because we're human, we're going to. But if we are open and we're honest and we keep in communication with them and we listen and we try to meet their expectations, exceed their expectations, then our customers are going to become loyal. There's that phrase, people buy from those they like and trust, and they're not going to know us to like us and trust us if we aren't working at truly building relationships with them, just like we would in a friendship or a relationship with a significant other. All of those things, listening is probably the most important.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, I totally agree 100%, listening. And we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But, Cherie, I want to bring you back in on this and pose the same question to you from your perspective. What do customers want?
Well, what they want to feel connected. You know, something that I always find interesting when I'm talking to business owners or speaking or literally trying to train them to understand their customers better from a marketing perspective is it's all about getting that referral for the customer, and they forget that, okay, what can they do for the customer beyond the customer just buying from them? And one of the things that I had discovered over some research I did after the last down economic turn in 2004, I released some research, and one of the things that growth companies did, 4 out of 5 growth companies made sure they connected their customers in some way. So it wasn't about getting referrals from the customers, because they already knew, like what was just said earlier, if you're doing all the things, if you're building the relationship, if you are wowing the customer, if you're serving them, if you're honest, they're going to refer without pause. You don't have to have any kind of referral relations program with a customer if you're doing a good job. They're going to refer you anyway. But to keep them loyal, what you want to do is make them feel connected, and not only with you, but with other customers, or possibly connect them with other resources you may not offer, but you know them so well. And that goes back to what I talked about the psychographics and understanding how your customer thinks and getting inside their mind, so it's almost like you can anticipate their needs so that you can possibly connect them in a way to help their make their life easier or make their business easier by simply knowing them better. And again, that gets back at building that relationship to the point where you can anticipate their needs and help them connect and make life or business easier for themselves.
You know, it's funny, I read a blog last week, and I'll have to look it up, and I'll put a link up on our blog after the show. But in essence, the blog was saying, there are a lot of companies who treat online marketing like it's not as real, but in fact, there's a person that sits behind that computer. It is a person. You're not marketing to a computer. You're marketing to the person behind that computer. And I thought, you know, that's so true. And maybe we don't think in those ways. I think there's probably different behaviors, you know, when there's somebody behind a computer as opposed to somebody who walks into brick and mortar. But they're still people, and they still want to be valued, no
exactly.
matter where they're coming at you. So now, Sheree, how can we be more focused on what the consumer or customer wants and still get our own message through to them?
Well, I think it goes back to, again, understanding how they think. And, you know, what's really important about marketing is you're not – anyone who's trying to convince anyone through their marketing is not doing a good job of, first of all, knowing who their market is. And second of all, not doing a good job of marketing. The whole ideal way to do marketing is that you are attracting customers and consumers to you, and you are actually detracting those who are not ideal anyway. So in essence, how do you be more focused on what the consumer or customer wants and still get your message out to them? You are actually doing one and the same, because you are speaking directly to the customer that's going to be most likely to buy and want your services, bottom line. So you are getting your message right dead on, because you are speaking to them in a way that's like, wow, I need this business, or wow, I need this service, or wow, I need this expertise. And then others will be looking at and say, you know, that's not quite right for me. And that's a good thing, because they're not your ideal anyway. So, you know, so you speak very eloquently and very directly to who you know is the ultimate and ideal customer for you. And that doesn't mean you can't have multiple segments. I can tell you a great example of a company that had 3 very similar demographic and geographic, absolutely same, but very 3 very different psychographic markets that she had to speak to very differently. So that's why the psychographics are so important, to speak to the customer through.
So in essence, the message gets through if we send the message to the people most likely to want it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Got it. So now, Deborah, I'm going to go over to you for a moment. What are some ways we can build customer relationships, because I know that's your passion, that promote an ongoing relationship, and it also that also promotes trust and value?
Well, I think staying in contact with them in a non-sales promotional way is a valuable piece that many people don't consider. And it goes beyond sending a thank you note or a birthday card. As a matter of fact, I just had an example where someone received a birthday card message from their insurance agent, but it was clearly their insurance agent is male. It was clearly written by a woman, and disturbed the customer so much that the guy couldn't have taken the time to handwrite it himself that she actually questioned whether or not she wanted to stay with him. So, but keeping in contact with them for more than just sales, knowing them well enough so that if you have a customer that you happen to be or a prospect that you see an article in the paper or on the internet, you might rip it out, throw it in the mail with a little note thinking about you, or send them an email, saw this link, thought about you, something that where you're involved in it. When I was with Pearle Vision, I made sure that when I started in the store, the store manager, and I made sure that all of my employees knew their customers well enough so that if a new style would come in, they would know, they would need to think of at least two or three customers that they could call and say, listen, I was thinking about you. I know you love this particular brand or this particular style. A brand new frame just came in. If you're in, you know, if you're around the store, come and see it so I can show it to you. Know your customers well enough to reach out to them. And the other way is to contact them when you're thinking about offering a new service or product or branching out in some form or fashion, you know, connect with them and just say, listen, I'm thinking about adding this. Would you consider this offering any additional value? Having relationships where you're actually inviting them to be part of your business growth. We really need to understand what it is that our customer wants and needs. Those needs change as the economy changes, as we age, as new things, grow and develop in technology. And we need to constantly be staying in contact with them, asking them questions, involving them in our business. And I think that helps to build that relationship.
Now, I have, I'm going to say it's a final question, but if we have a little bit more time, I'm going to try and sneak something else in here. But first to you, Cherie, what would be your top recommendation or recommendations to people who are out there trying to do their own marketing campaigns?
Well, probably the top recommendation I would say is too many businesses put a lot of their eggs into advertising, like print advertising or whatever, to the point where they're not able to do anything else, okay, because they have a very limited budget. And so what I recommend is that there's five core things, what I call the CRISP principle. Customer relations, that's what we're talking about. That's absolutely critical. Referral relations, that's developing relationships beyond your customer to get referrals, because that's really where you need to build referrals from. There's a whole huge opportunity with that to build a customer base through other referrals. The internet presence, of course, is incredibly important because you're going to get referrals through the internet. Getting strategically involved in the right organizations in the right way so that you can touch people face-to-face and make connections for your business. And then public relations, actually getting news out there about your business on the internet and in the marketplaces where you live and where you work. Those five core things together all can be done by the business owner very effectively and by their people and become an operational aspect of their business, and that's what I call the core initiatives. And then you look at advertising and some other things to supplement it where needed. And if you have all those five things going, what we have found over multiple testings is the advertising, people can start calling from the advertising place because all these other things are working in their favor as well.
All right. Now, Deborah, similar question to you. What would be your top recommendations to our listeners who are sincerely wanting to build positive and fruitful customer relationships?
I think the number one word would be to listen. To listen to them, even when what they have to say is difficult to hear. People talk about when they're blogging, what if somebody leaves a negative comment, or what if somebody says something bad about me on a review on one of the internet sites? You need to embrace it. That's reality. We aren't always going to hit the ball out of the park, but you want to thank them for that information, learn from it, ask them more questions, and truly listen without getting your defenses up. I think if you take a customer who's had an unhappy experience or we've missed the boat in some form or fashion, and you truly listen and you try to make it right and you follow through with what you're going to say and you turn things around, those become more loyal customers than somebody that came in and just had a happy experience and went on their way. So to truly listening to our customers, to understand what their expectations are, what they have as an expectation of the experience isn't necessarily what we think it is. And we don't really know, and we can't really make sure we exceed those expectations each time unless we are asking questions and really listening to what they have to say. And so I guess listening would be the biggest, which is so hard to do. You start listening, and then you think you know what they need because you're the professional, and you start making your recommendations, and you overwhelm them, and truly they haven't had an opportunity to get everything out that they wanted to say, and you could go down the wrong path. So truly listening with your ears open and your mouth shut.
I have to say this has been one of the most interesting shows that I've done. And just to give a little backstory to our listeners, I met Deborah one time, was during this session, and I knew immediately I wanted to invite her. And then, Cherie, you actually came recommended through Gail Martin.
Yes.
And she told me, I told her what kind of show it was. She says, you need to give this person a call. So you and I have never met. Mm-hmm. And then Cherie and Deborah, I'm going to assume that the two of you have never met, correct?
No,
we haven't. But I'm telling you, I love your crisp.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have that out on your website?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you, you and I talk the same language. There's no doubt about it.
I know. It was separated at first.
And that's what I wanted to say. It's like, okay, you know, people might think, oh, we're all girlfriends and go out and have margaritas, which we would love to do, of course.
Yes.
I thought was very interesting is that you both of you are you're talking the same language, because this is what I hear. If I had to just put this all encapsulated into just you know, a sentence or two, this is what I'm getting from both of you in different ways, and even talking about a few different things, is, you know, instead of starting with you, whether you or your company or you're an entrepreneur on your own, you need to be starting with the customer.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I found that so interesting, because I have had conversations with other professionals who, you know, have recommended, you know, oh, well, you know, you want to make sure that you highlight that you're an award winner. You want to make sure that you highlight work with so-and-so, because that's impressive. And I actually hear that quite a bit, but I subscribe to what you guys are saying. You know, I love the whole listen first, and the whole, you know, start with the customer, not with yourself approach.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Here both of you are saying the same thing. So I just thought that's very interesting and very powerful too.
Good, yeah. And it makes sense. It's so much of it's common sense, but it is sometimes the dilemma with, you know, leadership sometimes and entrepreneurs is they get caught up in themselves a little bit too much, and you have to kind of shake them down to the reality of the business would not exist without the customer. That's the bottom line.
Well, that's the other thing that happens is, particularly with entrepreneurs, the bills start coming due and the money isn't flowing in.
Right.
And, you know, that's at the point when they think, oh, I can't afford to advertise, which is when they need to have their name out there the most. And
right.
Your crisp gives them a great suggestion, a list of ways, tactics, and, you know, a great strategy for ways to get their name out.
Exactly. Getting back at making marketing an operational function so you're doing something every day. Critical. Absolutely critical. Yeah.
Well, it is. Absolutely.
Well, there's our piano music. It's like the Oscars.
They're going to yank us off the stage, right?
The gong show.
I really enjoyed this. And as a matter of fact, because I was making notes as I was going, it's like, well, I'm going to have to go listen to the show myself. So I want to thank you both for joining me tonight. Thank you so much.
And
it was great. Thank you so much.
Asked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
Definitely, we'll be hitting you up for another show in the future, maybe towards the end of the year. That would be fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. You can download the podcast at www.blogtalkradio.com/circle-of-7, or you can go to readersentertainment.com/radio, and we'll make sure that we have some additional links up there for you, so it's easy to go and find out more information about these wonderful ladies. And you can also download from iTunes, Odeo, Blueberry, and other sites as well. The show will be available within the hour after it airs. I'm Sheila English, your host, and thank you again for joining us on Readers Entertainment Radio.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.